scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, do not forget, the ever-present and most likely third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. Welcome, my friends. Welcome, my enemies. I am the great one himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, and this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. The weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys the stupid fucking statist all around the world. Sometimes after the nuclear holocaust of my cruise missile of intellect, there's still some survivors, but they glow in the dark, so we just wait until night comes and we shoot them with a 50 caliber machine gun. I am the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, or on Twitter at CYNLIBSOC.com. We're also on Facebook at something, and I'm even on Google Plus, sort of. It's not that I give a shit about Google Plus. And we are on the YouTubes. I don't know what the fuck the YouTube address is, but I should create short links for those. In the control room over there on the other side of the glass, being seen and not heard the way women should be. Yes, it is the lovely and adorable Randy. What's up, Randy? Wave to the audience. There you go. They can't see you, but he gives a shit. It's a thought that counts, right? Exactly. You don't like anything you hear on this podcast? You got a fucking problem with it? You think that without the government, nobody would build the fucking roads? Right? You love Obama because he's black? Cool, man. Send us a fucking email. Send us your hatred, because your hate makes us stronger. You can send that to God. That's God. That's dog spelled backwards. G-O-D. At CYNLIBSOC.com. On the interwebs. I saw something on the Facebook today. It was just a link, and then a friend of mine and a couple other people commented on something about Obamacare, and my friend was commenting that that Obamacare was so expensive that even paying the most expensive penalty for not having Obamacare, which is $900, is less expensive than buying the shitty insurance that doesn't actually do anything for you. And I just looked at this little exchange and I said, yes, I tried to warn you motherfuckers about this. I remember what, how many, a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, I said all of this shit. I explained, then remember when I read the newspaper article to you that my statist mother sent me talking about, where the newspaper article, the Brookings Institute, I think I still have that somewhere. Randy, don't I still have that somewhere in the studio? Because that's like a classic piece where this was one of those moments where every fucking thing I said was proven true. I can't find it. We got to look at that, because I may just want to read it again. But it's the article where the Brookings Institute come out and said, Obamacare is the redistribution of money. Look how wonderful this is. Because when I started talking about Obamacare, I said, Obamacare is just the redistribution of money. It redistributes money from rich people to poor people, healthy people to sick people, and what was the other one? I forgot. I don't know. Go listen to the podcast. It doesn't matter. This does even anything I was even going to talk about in this episode. See, this is, look, I'm holding my notes up to the microphone. This is not even in the notes. I don't even know where the fuck this came from. This is me just talking about shit that has nothing to do with what I'm supposed to be talking about. But it's Obamacare. I told you people that people aren't going to buy Obama. And she was saying she hasn't bought Obamacare. She's just going to pay the fee. I told you fucking stupid ass fucking statist out there, this was how it was going to go down. Nobody's going to fucking buy, well, nobody. Nobody with a brain is going to fucking buy Obamacare. I said this was going to happen. People are just going to pay the goddamn penalty instead of giving their money to the fucking corporations and getting nothing in return. But oh my God, y'all so in love with Obama. Oh, just, Obama, oh, you're black. I want to lick your asshole so everybody doesn't think I'm racist. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, let me not fuck up the recording computer here. Yeah. Randy, you should probably take control of, Take control of that away from me if I can fucking learn how to talk. Because I just hit the keyboard and almost crashed the computer. Good. Okay. Let me do this. Let me just do this before I forget, and then we're going to move on with the notes. I have a bunch of pages today from Vogue magazine and Bizarre magazine and some stuff like that. Chick magazines, chick fashion magazines. Not that I really was setting out today to necessarily rag on girls, but that was on the top of the stack, and that's just how it goes. I got some great stuff. I got a great one coming up for you about what happens when black men who think that they're a minority come up against white women and find out that they're not as privileged as they think they are, because when a white woman says that you intimidated her because you spoke to her, you're going to lose. So anyway, that's coming up in a future episode. All right, let me focus here. So this was sent to me by a friend of mine. She has an account on OkCupid, and she picks up girls there, preferably straight girls. And I'm not going to go into the details of her life and shit. Never mind. I don't need to put that information out there. The point is, she met some chick on there who is like doing this usual thing. It's like, well, I'm not bisexual, I'm pansexual, which pansexual basically means slut. But nobody wants to say slut because slut is a dirty word, right? It's like liberals are trying to call themselves progressives because liberal is a dirty word. There's all those Republicans out there trying to say they're libertarians because Republican is a dirty word. Or maybe conservative, I should say. Conservative is a dirty word. So there's, I'm not a conservative, I'm a libertarian. So anyhow, slut is, you know, women are supposed to embrace their slutness, but slut is a dirty word, so they created this word pansexual. So anyway, my friend meets this other chick on OkCupid, and they're exchanging some messages, and she says something about, well, so if you're not bisexual, what do you consider yourself? Whatever. And this girl writes back to my friend, and this is her response to the question. I forget, is essentially, why do you not consider yourself bisexual? And this is the little bimbo's response. Listen, this is classic. Oh, I almost forgot. Language is obviously essential in how we understand concepts. Bisexual reinforces the oppressive gender binary. I also like queer because it's vague. It basically means not straight, and sometimes I feel mostly straight, and sometimes I feel mostly gay. I don't like all genders equally all the time. My attraction to a cis woman is different from a cis man, from a FTM trans, from a non-binary person, etc., etc. Also, I love the history and community associated with the word queer. It being an insult reclaimed by the queer community. Now, having read that, I remember that in more detail. This girl said, I hesitate to call her a girl, I should be a freak. This freak said, people out there getting all offended right now. Let me emphasize again, that because I've dealt with this before, but being an anarcho-capitalist doesn't mean you have to approve of everybody else. It just means you have to not fucking interfere with them. Okay, so when you're saying, how can you be an anarchist? You're so hateful. No, there's nothing in anarchy says you can't hate other people, you stupid motherfucker. Anarcho-capitalism doesn't say you can't hate other people. You can hate Jews, you can hate queers, you can hate black people, you can hate women, you can hate men, you can hate Nazis, you can hate Klan members, you can hate dogs, you can hate cats, you can hate whatever the fuck you want. You just can't go initiate aggression against them. You can't violate their property rights. But you can fucking hate them all day long. Okay, anarcho-capitalism is not a belief system that seeks to control people's thoughts the way that all other ideologies and religions do. You're perfectly free as an anarcho-capitalist to hate people. And I don't hate queers. I hate stupid people. I hate statists. I hate idiots. I hate people who write shit like this, but I don't hate her because she's queer. I hate her because she's a fucking idiot. Now, the idiot in question had said that she's not bisexual, she's queer. And my friend had wrote back and said, well, what's the difference between being queer and bisexual? So let's break this response down. I almost forgot, language is obviously essential in how we understand concepts. Okay, so she admits that language is essential to understanding concepts. So what we can deduce from this is that her understanding of concepts can be inferred, deduced, backwards engineered, based on her use of language. So let's take a look at her use of language. She says that bisexual refers to the oppressive gender binary. Because, of course, a gender binary is inherently oppressive. But how does that happen? I mean, in all animals on this planet, we have two genders for animals that have two genders, the ones that don't reproduce asexually. So are they all oppressed? And which part of this is oppressive? Why is this oppressive? Do you notice how the female mind automatically seeks out oppression? When you have a binary, when you have two different options, there, notice how she automatically goes to, it's oppressive. Why is it not the complementary gender binary? And we know the answer, right? We know the answer. For those of you who don't know the answer, I'll tell you in a second. Why is it that all of these fucking freaks out there are portraying the fact that there are two genders as oppression, so as to create animosity and hatred between men and women? Well, of course, the reason for this is because the state wants men and women to hate each other. Because again, if you have dysfunctional people need the state more than functional people, right? If you have a man and a woman, and they are in love with each other, and they live together, and they have children, and they take care of their children well, and then those children grow up, and they get married to people of the opposite gender, God forbid, or even the same gender, who gives a fuck? They get married, or they enter into a stable relationship, because marriage is, of course, an aspect of the state and religion. There's no such thing as marriage in nature. You know, you can't go out into a forest, and you can find, like, chimpanzees living together and raising children, but you can't find marriage, right? So marriage is, and which is hilarious, of course, because I'm going to spend the entire episode talking about this and never get to the other shit. Because of fucking GLBTXYZMYP2KEY7999KKK crowd. You know, they're so into, all these social constructs are so evil. The gender binary is evil, but they want gay marriage, right? Marriage being, of course, a social construct of the government and the church. And the idea of legalizing gay marriage being the concept that homosexuals should have to go to the government to get a marriage license, to get permission to be in a stable relationship. So it's just fascinating how the GLBTers, you know, screech about social constructs and oppression, and at the same time are so desperate to get a hold of social constructs and oppression in the form of marriage and getting permission from the state to get married. So bisexual, which means you have sex with people of both genders, because there are only two genders. And we'll talk about that in just a second. There's only two genders. And so obviously this must be oppressive, because that's the only way the femistatist, it's my new word, femistatheist. Feminist, statist, and atheist. The femistatheist. That really sums them all up. Because as the more I think about it, every statist I meet is also a feminist. And, I mean, they are too, even if the religious ones are to an extent statist, because they still believe that, I mean, you're not going to find a statist who believes there's no place for the state taking on some of the roles of a god. Right, you've got these super religious people out there who think that God judges and God does this and God created and maybe everything else. But as soon as they allow any statism to enter into that, they may be religious, but they're still statist. They still think that there's this place where the government should be determining things for them and not just God. So in a way, they still qualify as a statheist. A statheist being an atheist who believes the state should do everything. So the difference between a full-fledged statheist and a femistatheist is a full-fledged statheist doesn't believe in God at all, but believes the state should perform all the functions of God. Maybe I should call them a femisemi-statheist, because they're not a full statheist, they're just like a partial statheist, a faux statheist, right? They don't think that the state should do everything God does. They just think the state should do some of what God does. Anyway, that has nothing to do with queer people. Let me get back to the queer girl. All right, so she doesn't like the word bisexual because it reinforces the oppressive gender binary. She also likes queer because it's vague. Now, she says that language is essential to how we understand the word, so understand the world, not the word. Language is essential to how we understand the world. She then says she likes the word queer because it's vague. So what she's saying is her understanding of the world is vague. Okay, that's going to be really helpful as you're trying to go through life and solve your problems. Using vague words. She likes the word because it's vague, because of course it's deceptive, because it means nothing and means everything, because it is meaningless, because it is a nebulous word, right? And again, this appeals to women. This is why women love Obama. Hope, change, forward. These are vague words. I've talked about this before. These are what I call nebulous words. They have meaning, but at the same time, they mean nothing. Right? If you look up the word change in a dictionary, it has a meaning. But if I stand here and I say, if you vote for me, I am going to change things, that means absolutely nothing. I'm given no specific details at all. And so now we know that her understanding of the world, her understanding of concepts is based on her language, and her language, by her own admission, is vague. Therefore, we can be pretty fucking sure that she doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground. So anyhow, it basically means not straight. And sometimes she feels mostly straight, sometimes she feels mostly gay. Well, but if you're not straight, how can you feel mostly straight? Because isn't that like a binary? Because to be straight, doesn't that make you part of the oppressive gender binary then? So isn't she being oppressive when she feels mostly straight? And if it's a binary, can you be mostly straight? I mean, being straight's not a binary, but if you're straight, that means you're attracted to the other gender, which means you're buying into the binary, but the binary is oppressive. But you're not straight, you're just mostly straight. So it's like an analog binary. I mean, what the fuck does any of this mean? But then, of course, she likes the word queer because it's vague. She likes the word queer because it means slut. She doesn't have to admit to being a slut. She likes the word queer because it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Then she says, I don't like all genders equally all the time. She has her attraction to a cis woman, and then there's a cis man, and then there's a FTM trans. Now, for those of you who don't know what the fuck this means, FTM, okay, so cis... A cis woman is a normal straight woman who likes guys. A cis man is a normal man who likes girls. See, we can't just call them men and women because that's oppressive. The GLBTXYZ KKKers had to create, that's going to be my new word for them. That's going to be my new thing, GLBTKKK. Because the GLBT community and the KKK community have so much in common. That I just invented that right now. GLBT, KKK. I'm going with that. That's it. We're done for the future. All right. Anyway. So a cis man is a normal man, and a cis woman is a normal woman. But we, although actually all normal women are bisexual, I've talked about this before, studies have showed it. When I get around to talking about this book I read called What Women Want and some of the experiments that have been done in there, oh God, am I going to fucking really piss off some feminist cunts when I read that? Because it supports my thesis that I've been saying for years. Years and years and years and years have I put forth the thesis that all women are bisexual. And oh, guess what? Science is showing that I'm right. Oh, don't you fucking hate that? Yes, yes you do, but go fuck your fucking little fucking queer self. All right, here we go. Where the fuck was I at? Yes, cis man, cis woman. So then we have FTM trans. That is a female to male transsexual. Now, they say, well, there's not a gender binary, there's transsexuals. Well, no, because you said it's a FTM, so it's a female, which is one part of the binary, to male, which is the other part of binary, transsexual. So it was a female, now it's a male. It's still part of the binary, right? There's nothing in between. There's not like, well, actually, there is. There are people out there with penises and vaginas. But even in the transsexual world, they identify as, I used to be this binary, now I'm this binary. So at the same time you're rejecting the binary, you're enforcing the binary by saying that you've got FTM transsexuals. And then, of course, she says a non-binary person. Now, I don't know what the fuck a non-binary person is. Apparently, I got to do some more research on the GLBTKKK clan because I, God, I love that GLBTKKK clan. Oh, that's brilliant. It just came out of my mouth and I love it. I don't know what non-binary person means. But anyhow, so she has a different sort of attraction for each of these different people based on what category they're in. Now remember, the GLBTKKK clan is also one of these groups of people who say you shouldn't categorize and label other people. Yet, of course, this response of hers is filled with labels. Cis men, cis women, FTM trans, non-binary person. We're not supposed to label people, and yet this is entirely about her labeling people. And, of course, she loves the community associated with the word queer. It being an insult reclaimed by the queer community. Oh, that is so heart-touching. It's an insult being reclaimed, and oh my God, it's the community around this word. I mean, these people are such fucking losers that they've created a community around a word. You know, I thought people who created communities around things like playing Halo were fucking losers. I found people who are greater losers than video game geeks. That's people who create community around the word queer. I'm just saying, it's pretty fucking weak. It's pretty fucking lame. All right, we've done that. That was... No shit, thank you, God. All right, that was 24 minutes of the podcast. I'll never get through all of these notes. We probably knew that anyway. This was going to be my warm-up, but I'm pretty warmed up. I'm just going to save that for a kicker. This is from October 2014 Vogue magazine, and this is about these two students. They're fighting back. Oh, they're fighting back. Annie E. Clark and Andrea Pino are changing how colleges deal with sexual assault and shaping a national debate. Oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. So first of all, there's a picture here of these two bimbos. They've been They've got makeup all over their faces. They've been photoshopped. You can tell that their fan is blowing their hair because they've got this windblown hair look. And you can tell they're fat, but they're being shot with their bodies at an angle so as you don't really see just how fat they are. And I only bring that up because, of course, this whole thing is about how evil it is for men to have sex with women and how these women are fighting sexual assault. But, of course, this is a women's magazine, and so what's important? What's important is that in the picture of them, they must appear to be as sexually attractive as possible because we all know that women are so fucking shallow that they judge every other person on the planet based on how they look, while at the same time telling us men that we're shallow because we're attracted to attractive women. If, you know, and that we're supposed to be attracted to women because of their personalities and their accomplishments and all this other shit. Okay, so if a woman, if what a woman looks like is so unimportant, why did they spend the hours dolling these women up with all of this makeup and Photoshop if what they look like isn't important? I'm just throwing that out. So I'm actually going to read not a whole lot of this. Here's some select aspects of this. Rape on campus is not new, of course. In fact, it's disturbingly common. One out of every five young women who attend college will, at some point, be sexually assaulted. Oh, we love to repeat that statistic. As I've said before, as I'll say again, if one out of five women who go to college get sexually assaulted, number one, why do women keep going there? Number two, why do they keep paying money to go there? Number three, why don't the administrations of the college do anything about it? Number four, why do their parents let them go to a place where they're going to get raped? Number five, why aren't the campus police doing anything about this? Number six, all of these men who are rapists, why didn't their mothers teach them not to rape women? Number seven, all of these men who are rapists, why is it that through 12 years of public education, nobody ever explained to them why raping women was wrong? Number eight, why is it their fathers never taught them how to actually meet girls and have sex with them without having to rape them? Oh yeah, because most of them have mothers who are single and they don't have a fucking father in their life. But of course, all of this is happening. None of those people are going to take... Oh, and by the way, why don't any of these women learn to defend themselves? And why don't any of these women have any fucking standards for who they hang out with? And that list could probably go on for a while, but let's get back to reading. Such change... We're talking about whatever, who gives a fuck. Such change took shape quietly and came from an unlikely place. Shortly after his first election, President Obama, the Lord and Savior Messiah himself, made good on his campaign promise to strengthen enforcement of civil rights laws by hiring Rasina Lynn Ali, a former teacher turned lawyer, at the Department of Education Office for Civil Rights. Oh my goodness, man. He's going, Obama is changing the world. He hired a lawyer. Holy shit. All right. Ali sent a dear colleague letter to every university in America, reminding them that sexual violence is not only a crime, but also a form of discrimination, thus making it a violation of Title IX, which guarantees equal access in education. You see, my friends, raping women is wrong, not because it violates the non-aggression principle. No, no, no. It's wrong because it violates Title IX. You know, as I've said before, as I will say again, if you live by the state, you'll die by the state. If you're telling people that rape is wrong because it's against the law, you're a sick motherfucker. When that's your whole argument, when that's your whole thrust, get it, thrust, is that rape is wrong because it's illegal, you're probably a fucking scumbag. Quote, for the average person, it didn't compute, unquote, says Dauber. Quote, they understood that a professor putting his hand on your knee and promising a good grade for sex is harassment, but if every day in class you have to sit next to the boy who raped you, that's harassment too. The ultimate penalty, unquote. The ultimate penalty for violating Title IX is withdrawal of all... Oh, okay, there are two different things. Hold on. Let me stop with that. So, it's not just harassment for you to get raped, and it's not just harassment for the professor to say, if you fuck me, I'll give you a good grade. No, it's also harassment if, when you go to class, you have to sit next to the boy who raped you. Are these girls who get raped, are they really that stupid? Why don't you fucking sit someplace else? Why are you sitting next to the boy who raped you? I've taken a lot of college classes. I've been to multiple different colleges. I've never had a college class that had assigned seating and where it was enforced. And you women don't understand why there are men who don't think you should be in the workplace. Why there are men who don't think you should vote. If a boy raped you, don't sit next to him. Why is that so fucking hard for you? Get it? Hard? There's a reason why I come on this podcast and make fun of feminists. This is it. Because feminists are women who are so fucking stupid that instead of just moving to a different chair, they would sit next to a boy who raped them and then call that harassment. So the part where he raped the girl, if you want to call that harassment or whatever, that's fine. But the next day when he's sitting at a desk and you go sit next to him, he's not harassing you. You have a fucking choice to sit someplace else, you dumb fucking cunt. The part where he raped you violated the non-aggression principle, which you don't believe in, which is why I don't have a lot of sympathy for you getting raped. Right? Whenever a woman is like, I got raped, the first question is, are you an anarcho-capitalist or a statist? If you're a statist, you don't believe in the non-aggression principle. So why should I give a fuck that somebody initiated aggression against you? You believe it's okay to initiate aggression against other people? This is why somebody's like, it's a great one. It sounds like you don't have sympathy for rape victims. It's because I don't. It's because ultimately I don't. If you are a fucking statist and you have been raped, I don't have sympathy for you. I don't. Because you routinely support and even often do initiate aggression against other people. And the idea that you should be somehow free from having aggression initiated against you while doing the same to other people? No, fuck you. If you're not an anarcho-capitalist and you've been raped, tough shit. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live by the state, you die by the state. You live by aggression, you die by aggression. Speaking of, I just finished Catching Fire, second book in the Hunger Games series. Oh, God, it was fucking... It really was not that good compared to the first one. It was just more of the same, and it was more of... You could tell, again, I've talked about this before. A number of episodes ago, I talked about a science fiction story, and I analyzed women writing stories about women for women. And this one was even worse than Hunger Games. Katniss basically just went through the story, controlling nothing, doing nothing, making nothing happen. She's just buffeted here and there, and she's just like, oh, I don't know what to do. And it's just like, she's this total weak, inept character that no man could possibly identify with, and that no woman who wants to make shit happen could identify with. And then what I love is at the end, so after being a coward through the whole book, being terrified to... Because, okay, so in the book, when it reached the point where they got to the three-quarter quell, whatever, and, you know, they found out, oh, shit, she found out she had to go back into the Hunger Games, I thought, okay, this is where Katniss is going to grab her ball sack, and she's going to join up with the rebels, and this is where the rebellion against the Capitol is going to begin. And what happened instead is we went right into another round of Hunger Games. And I'm listening to this and going, are you shitting me? We've already had a Hunger Games. We're doing a repeat of the first fucking novel? Because instead of starting, you know, I did as a man. I'm looking, okay, this is where the hero contacts the rebellion and joins the rebellion and starts trying to overthrow the capital. And what does Katniss do?
Oh my God, I have to go back to the Hunger Games. Okay, I can't possibly disobey the government, because if I disobey the government, well, who's going to build the roads?
It's fucking pathetic. All right, let's get back to raping women. All right, then it's over here, and let's see, yeah, okay, so when you sit next to the boy who raped you, he's not harassing you, you're stupid. You should go get another chair. But again, see, and this is, women are objects, not agents. So if the woman goes in there, the place she normally, she's going to go to her normal chair because she doesn't even have the fucking agency to say, I'm going to sit in a different chair today. I mean, that's how fucking inept you fucking femistatists are. And you're sitting going, why don't we get paid as much money as men? Well, because men can sit in a different fucking chair. That's why. Just sit in a different fucking chair. Are you, God fucking damn it. Just sit in a different fucking chair. And you want to fucking consider yourself on par with men who who make cell phones and invent computers and go to the moon and motherfucking fly goddamn airplane, and you can't change to a different fucking chair. And you want to call yourself my fucking equal? Are you out of your fucking femistatist mind? Sit in a different fucking chair. The ultimate penalty for violating Title IX is withdrawal of all federal funding to an institution. And that's never going to happen. Colleges cannot survive without federal funding. The federal government cannot survive without colleges, because the government needs colleges to make sure a majority of citizens are stupid enough to not question the government, but smart enough to manufacture cell phones. Then it goes through, there's these long paragraphs here where these two bimbos tell their stories about how they got raped, you know, and this one, and she's like, after she fought him off and she ran into the bathroom, why didn't you fight him off before he raped you? Again, I know I'm hurting your fucking feelings, but I'm serious about this. Do the rape a woman challenge. If you're a man, or if you're a woman, get a man and a woman. Get a man and go out and get a random man and woman. And tell the woman, you know, this man's going to try to rape you, and I want you to fight back. And then I want you to film this, and I want you to prove me wrong. I want you to show me a woman who's not drugged, not being threatened with a weapon, you know, not tied up. I want you to show me where a man can get this woman who has two arms and two legs, a mouth full of teeth, a knees, elbows. I want you to show me a man who can get that woman, get her clothes off of her, get an erection, stick his dick inside of her, and pump without getting just absolutely beat and mutilated. Now, I'm not saying women don't get raped when they're passed out drunk, when they're tied up, when there's a night. All that happens. I'm not talking about that. Because in these stories, you know, in these stories, there's never anything about they were drugged or anything like that. It's this, well, this guy came up and he raped me. Well, okay, did he drug you? Well, no. Did he tie you up? No. Did he have a weapon? No. Well, how the fuck did he get your clothes off and get his dick inside of you? It's not that easy. I mean, women can bite you. Women can punch you in the face. Women can elbow you. Women can knee you in the nuts. And of course, the reason is because women are objects, not agents. You're not smart enough to get another chair, and so you sit next to the guy who raped you. When the guy's raping you, apparently you're not smart enough, just knee him in the fucking balls and run away. But no, that would be defending yourself, and femistatism has taught women that they're not supposed to defend themselves. They're supposed to wait for men to defend them. They're supposed to not expect men to not rape them, and you're supposed to wait for the police to show up and help you, and you're supposed to wait for Obama to fucking provide you with health care for the rest of your life, and all this other shit, and you're just supposed to stand there and fucking be helpless and not do anything at all. Not lift a fucking finger to protect yourself, because you're such a goddamn princess that everybody else in the world is supposed to alter their behavior and or provide for you. Then the other one has this long story about how, what the fuck did she do? She went to a party one night and you know, she was dragged into a bathroom and slammed against a wall where she blacked out from a concussion. Okay, maybe so. At least that's a little bit better excuse. If somebody slams you into a wall and you black out, okay, I can see you getting raped. I can buy that one. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. They tell their sob stories. And we go back to reading. The woman she met with advised her that rape was like a... Now, this is the rape victim. She's meeting with the college counselor. Now, remember, all of this, women are getting raped on campus. Remember everything I said about how if women getting raped on campus was actually important and all this other stuff, wouldn't the administrations be doing something about it? Wouldn't the campus police be doing something about it? And I mean, if college is so great, how come all these college students are getting raped by other college students? Right? If college can teach people morals and educate them and make them so smart, then why are all these guys on campus running around raping women if they're so moral and smart? And if democracy is so wonderful, why are we letting all these rapists vote? So this is what happens when she goes to the college-educated woman who works at the college to deal with rape victims. And this woman at the college who's there to deal with rape victims, I guarantee you she has a liberal arts degree. So if liberal arts degrees are so fucking wonderful, well, let's see what happens when a woman with a liberal arts degree gets a job at a college dealing with women who have been raped. This is what happens. The woman she met with advised her that rape was like a football game, and the next day was like being a Monday morning quarterback, where you look back and think, what would I have done differently? The insensitivity of this woman's response galvanized Clark. And again, now I admit there's a level on which saying, well, what should you have done differently? There's a level on which that is absurd, because it's already happened and you have to deal with what's happened. But at the same time, there's a level at which, yes, you do need to look back at what you did. As painful as this is, because I know it hurts you fucking femistatist to self-evaluate and to think and to learn from your experience, because again, you're objects, not agents. You expect the world to change for you. It never occurs to you that you should change as well. There's an extent to which, yes, you should look back at what you did and say, what could I do differently? You know, as a man who isn't stupid, I do this all the time. I do shit and I look at it and go, damn, what could I have done differently? You know, I try to get women to have sex with me and they don't have sex with me, and I don't look at that and go, well, they're a bunch of goddamn cunts. Hey, I just did a whole podcast on this. I mean, I bitch about their flakiness, but ultimately I also look at it and I go, what could I do differently? At work, you know, we did an event recently and we did some shit and some shit wasn't working out well. And I looked at it and I didn't blame people. I literally said, okay, this is kind of fucked up. What are we going to do differently next time? Because I'm an agent. I can look at things that have happened to me in the past and I can look at what did I contribute to that. And this is the thing, femistatist, I almost said women, not women, femistatist cannot accept that they contribute to what happens to them in their lives. Femistatists believe everything that happens to them happens to them. Right, just like Katniss in the Hunger Games, she never motivates any action. She's just like a ping pong ball in a clothes dryer, just bouncing around from one fucking crisis to another. She has no control over what happens. And this is the view of women that the femistatists are trying to teach women. Femistatists want all women to believe that they have no control in their life. That's why if you're a woman, you shouldn't try to defend yourself when you're being raped. Right, you just bounce around like a ping pong ball in a clothes dryer because you're not an agent. Everything that happens to you happens to you, and it's not your fault, and there's nothing you can learn from it, and there's nothing you should do differently. Why? Because femistatism is like every other aspect of statism. It needs victims to survive. Without victims, statism does not have a purpose. I've said it before. I will say it again right now. I'm going to say it into the future. The state, the femistatists, want women to be raped because women who are raped are victims, and victims serve the purpose of the femistatist. She persuaded UNC to install boxes around campus where students who had been sexually assaulted could anonymously deposit accounts of their attacks. As both she and Pino would later learn, however, anonymity would get them nowhere. Well, that's so useful. You can put an anonymous account of your rape into a little blue box. Again, that's the helplessness that the femistatists want women to have. Right. Well, you got raped. Okay, don't do anything about it. Just write about it on a piece of paper and stick it in a little box. Hey, what? Are you fucking shitting me? So your house is on fire. Don't call the fire department. Just write about it on a little piece of paper and put it in a little blue box. Oh, you got laid off from your job? Well, don't go look for another job. Just write about it on a little piece of paper, and we'll go put it in a little blue box. This is why women shouldn't be in the workplace. This is the femistatist idea of how you solve a problem. This is the femistatist idea of how you deal with a violation of the non-aggression principle, is you write about it on a little piece of paper and you put it in a little blue box. And these fucking two stupid cunts, this fucking Annie E. Clark and Andrea Pino, if they ever hear this podcast, they're going to wonder why I'm calling them stupid cunts. This is why. And this is after 12 years of public education and 1, 2, 3, however many years of college they'd had at the time this happened. We're going to write our problem on a little piece of paper. We'll put it in a little blue box. Oh. It's like voting. You mark your little, you check Obama and you put it in a little box. And you're going to get free health care. I mean, these fucking dumb whores live in a fucking fantasy land. Are you shitting me? Thanks, Randy. I'm not even going to make it through this. Okay, God damn it. I'm not even going to get through this. God damn it. All right, here we go. Let me see if I can plow through this part. Okay. Even violent rapes at UNC were investigated by so-called honor courts, where other students would question both victim and assailant in the same room. Oh, my God. And at university after university across the country, the same thing seemed to be happening with the same poor results. Quote, these student panels were set up to handle plagiarism, Dauber explains. Quote, in that situation, a professor is bringing a charge against a student, so we give the accused a lot of rights. The rights against self-incrimination, the right to consult an attorney, and the provision of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But now you have a woman who is claiming to be sexually assaulted going up against a student, and he has all the rights. Often, he has hired a lawyer, and now it's the lawyer going up against this sobbing girl. Unquote. On the rare occasion when students are found guilty, the punishment is often laughingly hollow. An apology letter, maybe, or a book report. Turning to the police has its own drawbacks. Prosecutors are notoriously hesitant to take on what are often classified as date rape cases, and successful prosecution rate for all rape cases is shockingly low. One report has the figure at just 18%. Yes, because date rape doesn't really exist. I've talked about that before. And, okay, look, again, all of this is the college system is, you got raped, you're a woman, you got raped, so you say this man raped me. Okay, so, God damn it, I can't turn the page. So the college system, I mean, this is the system set up by the college. This is the place you're giving money to educate you. The college is run by other people with college degrees. The college is run by people with liberal arts degrees. And so their solution to a woman getting raped is to take the woman who says she got raped, the man who she says raped her, and have them questioned by other students. You're paying money to the college to educate you, but the people who run the college are so fucking stupid that they think when a woman says she was raped by a man, the correct way to deal with that is to have them questioned by other students. Not to, I don't know, do a rape test, not to, you know, I mean, it is the year 2014, we're fucking, everybody has a cell phone, you can check their GPS, were these two people in the same place when the woman claimed she was raped? There's cameras everywhere. Colleges, you have to get in and out of doors with ID cards nowadays, CSU is like that. Instead of seeking evidence to ascertain, instead of having people who know what they're doing, you know, actual grown-ups who have life experience, attempt to ascertain evidence if the woman was raped or not, what they do is they have the victim and the accused person answer questions from other students. That's the solution that the college has come up with. That's the college that these same dumb liberal arts degree majoring femistatist cunts are paying money to get an education. Look, you can't learn from stupid people, and the colleges are run by stupid people. We're gonna keep going. I'll finish this up in the next episode.